Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today is Labor Day, and so what we want to do is talk about what the Bible has to say about labor. But of course, there's a lot more in the Bible concerning labor than we can cover in this broadcast, so we've organized an outline that will cover some key points that are very important for you and for me. Now, first of all, from the website of the U.S. Department of Labor, we read this: Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. You can find that quote and other things concerning the history of Labor Day at www.dol.gov. That stands for the Department of Labor. www.dol.gov/Labor Day/history. Now, in honor of Labor Day, let's see what the Bible has to say about labor. Now, the first place we're going to go is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 26, and the Bible says this: He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Proverbs 16:26, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Solomon says something similar in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 7, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. So, what you will notice most places that you travel is that men have to work because they want to eat. And the incentive to work is to feed themselves. And you see, and not only in this country, but many countries, many men put forth some sort of effort, some kind of way, in a factory, in a field, making things like ornaments and trinkets that they can sell, you name it. And what they're doing is getting up enough produce, getting up enough money, getting up enough something they can barter, depending on which economy they're in, so they can eat. And that's a great incentive. It's always concerned me that we have removed that incentive to a great degree in this country. And I know that there was a time when our country had ample produce, but not enough money. And so there were measures taken to provide welfare, to get people through that difficult period of time. But today you hear an awful lot about abuses of the welfare system. And my concern is this, that we have so many people now dependent upon the government for money to be able to buy food, that dependency has taken away their incentive to work and also their ability to work. I'm not talking about people who are in a legitimate case. I'm talking about able-bodied people who aren't working. And I remember years ago, I had an old friend of mine, William Langley. He was 50 years older than me, but he and I were good friends. And he was a black fella. And he said to me one time, he said, "What do you think about welfare?" Well, I didn't really answer him because I knew that he wanted to tell me. And I said, "What do you think?" And he said this, listen, it's very profound. He said, "Man always feed what he about to kill." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, watch him. He'll go in his kitchen and he'll get a handful of bird seed in one hand, and he'll get a butcher knife in the other hand, and he'll go to the backyard and he'll say, 'Here, chicky, chicky, chicky.' Now he feeds that bird until he fattens it up enough, and he cut his head off, and then he can feed himself with the bird." He said, "What's going to happen is this country is going to go bankrupt feeding people, and they'll die in air-conditioned houses watching color televisions because they won't know how to feed themselves." You know, that's a profound statement. I have a friend of mine that is in a closed country, essentially, and he's taking care of orphans. What he does is he provides them with a house. It only cost about $2,000 to build it. And the food and hygiene and clothing necessary to get them through school. He enrolls them in school. He gives them incentives to perform well and trains them in vocational training so that by the time they are 18 years old, they have graduated from school, they own their own home, and they are self-sufficient. They can provide for themselves. They labor. Some raise cattle, some raise fish, some are nurses, some are mechanics, some are welders, some are builders. He trains them in all kinds of things. They're not institutionalized. They get to live in their own homes, and it's tremendous. He finds a relative that owns some land, and they deed a portion of that land big enough to put this house on, and they are the guardians for those children until they're old enough, and then the children are completely self-sufficient. You know what he's done? He has taught them that by labor they can feed themselves, and that's a great thing to know. Men labor to feed themselves. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, what happened in Thessalonians is that there were men there in the church who were able-bodied, but they knew of the benevolence of the church, and so they became busybodies. They wouldn't work. They were disorderly. He said, we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So he told them, if any would not work, neither should he eat. So he said the church should feel no compulsion to provide them with the money or the food necessary to feed themselves. They can work. You see? Now, I'll tell you something. One benefit of labor is that not only will you be able to feed yourself, but you may have something to give to others. We all know of instances with widows, family members, that you know have a difficult time. There are times when we have to pitch in together and help somebody out. And you know, if you're working and you're not spending all of your money on recreation and food and wine and pleasure and all those other kind of things the Bible shows you will take away your money, you'll have a little set by. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. And there are people who need. They get to a place where they're disabled and they can't work. They get to a place where they hit a hard bump and they can't work. And he said, well, you got a little set by, you can help them through that. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, good measure, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. The idea is that when you're taking care of people who have a need, and there may be a time when the need comes your way, and because you've taken care of them, God will be sure that men will take care of you. That's a very, very true concept all through the Bible. Men labor to feed themselves. They labor to feed others. Paul labored to feed the men that worked with him in the ministry so that the churches of Corinth and Thessalonica would not be charged, even though he had a legitimate reason, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, to be able to require of them carnal supply since he had been meeting their spiritual need. He just didn't do it because he did not want to bring any reproach to the cause of Christ among those young Christians. So men labor to feed themselves, constant all through the Bible. All right, here's another thing that we want to remember about Labor Day. Men labor to increase wealth. Men labor to increase wealth. Look in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. The Bible says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, okay? In one passage of Scripture we'll look at. In this passage of Scripture, he says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. All right, a man that tends to penury is a person who's going to go into poverty. In other words, he said, don't just sit around talking all day long. Get up and go do something. Why? Because in all labor there is profit. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Wealth gotten by vanity is, you get the windfall. You buy lottery tickets and you win money from the lottery. That's wealth gotten by vanity. And you know what he said? It shall be diminished. And how many stories have you heard, maybe even people that you have known, who got the windfall of wealth and then they blew it? It happens all the time. They're on a game show, they win the money, they're in the lottery, they win some money, they get a big inheritance, they get, you know, just something that they didn't work for. And he says that money will vaporize, it will go away. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So men labor to increase wealth. You know, the money that comes to you by labor increases because you know how much work it took for you to acquire it. You have a greater appreciation for the money when you have spent the effort to acquire it. Sleepless nights and, you know, long days and all that other kind of thing. You think, man, I've worked too hard for this. I don't want to lose it or spend it needlessly. So you hang on to it. And you hang on to it in such a way that it increases because you are, well, for instance, take a farmer. He plants some seed and he gets a good crop. Well, he's certainly produced enough to feed his family, and he has produced enough for the seed for the next year. Now he has extra. What does he do? He plants more what he planted last year, plus perhaps he leases a little bit from a neighbor, plants some more. Now his harvest is even more bountiful. And with that, he feeds his family. He has enough seed to set by for the planting of the next year and a little bit to sell. And pretty soon he's buying the land that he'd been renting and renting more. And he's increasing. That's a natural tendency, a natural consequence of labor. Men labor to increase wealth. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4, though, we see this caveat. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. In other words, if your ultimate objective is to become a rich man by working, he said, you better stop that. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Why? Many times that ambition leads to bankruptcy, just like either a spiritual bankruptcy, moral bankruptcy, or financial bankruptcy. In other words, once you start getting a taste for that increase, you may start cutting some corners to get more because the love of money is the root of all evil. I knew a fellow many years ago, borrowed $100,000 to invest in his business venture, and it made him nervous. He sweated making that payment every month, and then he got it up to $500,000, and pretty soon $1 million. He said, man, I wasn't even sleeping at night. I was so worried about paying that money back. But he said once the debt got up to $10 million, it lost any sense of reality. It was like monopoly money. And by the time they shut him down, he owed, either directly or indirectly as a guarantor, $800 million. He said, what happened? That old money, I'll tell you what, that wealth, when it increases like that, it generates a fever in you, and you can't seem to get enough. And so he said, don't do that. Cease from your own wisdom. Labor not to be rich. It the natural consequence of labor is that you will increase wealth, and that's enough without having to have the ambition to have more than anybody else or just to keep going till it can't stop. All right, so in honor of Labor Day, we want to remember that men labor to feed themselves and men labor to increase wealth. But that's not all. Men who labor must rest. Labor Day is a holiday. You ought to rest. In Exodus chapter 20, under the law, Exodus chapter 20, the Lord is giving Israel the commandments, and he says to them in verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. So do your work in 6 days. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Why? That way you get a seventh day of rest. Now, you know, we have a multitude of thoughts about all this. But basically, what I'd like to emphasize, I mean, in other words, when I say multitude, some guys work 4 days and they rest three. But some guys work 4 days and they come home and then they start their other stuff, you know, mowing and construction on their house and working on their cars, and they never rest. God instituted the Sabbath of rest for Israel, and I'll tell you something. Even though you're not Israel, you ought to rest and you ought to take advantage of that day to spend time with your family and time with the Lord. That's right. You really should. I have learned in my own life. I realize I'm the pastor of the church, but I realize that you have got. I'll tell you what. You have got to spend some time resting. Now, I have noticed people who take their Sunday off and they just sit around and they, you know, picnic and play, and then they go back to work and they say, "Well, I can't come to church because it's my only day off." As if they're getting rest. I have found that when men rest by spending some time at church as well, the rest they get is a supernatural and a physical rest, and God blesses it. That's why He set that aside for the Lord. Now, another thing, I won't dwell on the point, you understand, not only should you rest on your Sabbath, which we now do on Sunday, that gives you Saturday to do all those other things you like doing around the house, and Sunday to spend some time with God and God's people. All right, next thing is that men who labor in the daytime are to rest in the nighttime. Look in Psalm 104. I've got a couple of comments about this. Psalm 104, verse 23. Psalm 104, verse 23, "Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening." Now, in Psalm 104, he's talking about this. All right, young lions, in verse 21, roar after their prey, seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They're working at nighttime. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and they lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work in the daytime and to his labor until the evening. And then what does he do? Comes home and rest. You know something? Men who labor in the daytime are to rest in the nighttime. And here are the couple of comments. This idea of shift work where men are working at night, I don't think that's been good for their health. You get yourself out of cycle, particularly these ones where you're shifting. In other words, you're working the first shift, then later they roll you around, rotate you, you work the second shift, rotate you around, work the third shift. And I realize the idea of that is to be fair to the men that are on those late night shifts. But that's constantly throwing your body out of cycle. And the idea about that nighttime of rest when the sun sets is for you to be able to rest. But these factories and a lot of these services don't stop anymore. They just go all day and all night. And I don't believe that's been a good thing for men. They say it's good for the economy, but I don't think it's been good for the households. All right, another thing, men who labor in the daytime or to rest in the nighttime, I don't think it's a good idea for you to get home and then jump on your computer and start messing around with all that stuff. You ought to come home and you ought to have a meal with your family. You ought to visit about the day, and then you ought to go to bed instead of staying up all night watching movies. There are a lot of people that show up the next day with their eyes pretty blurry because they've been up late. Once they got on the computer, they didn't know the limit. They couldn't stop. You know, Facebook posts and everything else they're involved in, and all the surfing, next thing you know, they've been up half the night. You ought to visit with your family. Most people have forgotten how to do that. You ought to kick your legs up, and you ought to let your body unwind and then get a good, reasonable amount of sleep during the night. Men who labor must rest. That's what the Lord said. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. That means then stop. And you know the nice thing about good labor? When you're really working hard, the nice thing about good labor is it yields sweet sleep. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Now, I tell you what, when you've put in your day, the nice thing about it, you punch out, you finish your day, your body unwinds, and you go to sleep. That's what you should do. That's the ideal thing. And according to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Okay? "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light," is the end of that passage. We are offered the yoke of the Lord so that we can come to Him and rest. And what happens is men often have their own yoke and are denied sleep in their restless dreams. Listen, the Lord knows how much you can take, and if you go to Him and work for Him, you won't take any more than He wants you to have. I know about that. I have pressed myself in the ministry way beyond reasonable limits, and that's because I put more on me than the Lord was putting on me. And when I backed off and started accepting what the Lord wanted me to carry, I'll tell you, it has changed my sleep habits. And the sleep is sweet. Men who labor must rest. So Labor Day is a day of rest. And then this, men who are saved should labor in the Lord's work. Men who are saved should labor in the Lord's work. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the Lord came up to a situation where he saw some people, and he had compassion on them, and when he did, he said in verse 37, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, there is a harvest that needs your attention. That's right. And you say, well, I'm already working hard, and you tell me I'm supposed to go home and rest. How can I put in some time laboring for the Lord? You know people at work, and you know people in your neighborhood, and it is no sweat for you to open your mouth and labor in that harvest and tell them about Jesus Christ. Now, that is not work. It's laboring, but it is not hard. It's very simple for you when you're out there in the yard, and you see your neighbor next door say, "Neighbor, I'm going to church this Sunday. Why don't you go with me?" "Neighbor, what do you know about Jesus Christ?" And I can remember back in the days when I was in the banking business, my neighbor loved to sit out in his back porch. And I'd go and I'd join him many afternoons, and we'd prop our feet up, and we'd just talk about the day, and I'd talk about the Lord. Now, I think we did that for, I can't even remember the number of years, 6 years or so. We'd talk like that. And you know what happened? After that much time, that fella had heard enough gospel that he got saved. His wife was saved. Well, we've had many occasions like that. That kind of thing. I remember we used to have a fellow showed up at the office, and I would witness to him. He was in the insurance business. I'd tell him, "You're selling insurance to take care of families in the bank. After men die, I am providing assurance of salvation free of charge in Jesus Christ to take care of you after you die." And we used to have fun with that. And, you know, it wasn't labor. It wasn't hard. One day, after 9 months of talking to him off and on about the Lord, we went to lunch, and right there in the parking lot of a sandwich shop, he knelt in the parking lot to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. I saw that happen numerous times with men in the oil business, men in various types of businesses, and it really was, I wasn't going out of my way. It was in the natural concourse of the day, but I remember to be laboring for the Lord, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Jesus told us in John chapter 6 and verse 27 that we shouldn't spend up all of our labor just feeding ourselves. Remember, the first point was men labor to feed themselves, but he said you shouldn't use up all of your labor just to feed yourself. In John chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus Christ said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." So he said, when you're out there doing something, make sure to spend some labor, as you see, in eternal life. "For that meat which perisheth not, but which endureth unto everlasting life." Tell others about Jesus Christ. Feed them with the words of God. It's no sweat. Every week, at least once a week, we have supper at our house, and we invite other people over, and we teach them Bible. We're laboring for the Lord, but we're enjoying fellowship, and we're enjoying food at the same time. It's a wonderful combination. And listen, it's not going to backfire on you to take some of your day and use it for the Lord. Not at all. You know why? Because the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to find that the labor of man is vain. You're going to find there's a lot of men that put a lot of labor into things here in the earth, and besides feeding themselves, there's not much else that they accomplish with it. Their heirs end up fighting over the remainder of the estate. But he says here, "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's remarkable. You see, as we wrap this message up, men who labor without the Lord labor in vain. They really do. I'll just mention one of those verses to you. I'll read one of them from Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. Listen. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on that labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now, that's a man who put it all together under the sun and then said, man, I have worn myself out for what? So the psalmist, Solomon, when he writes the Song of Degrees in Psalm 127, puts it in perspective, and he says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So you see, when you put forth your effort for the Lord's sake and labor according to the Lord's yoke and according to his work, you can feed yourself, you can give to others, you can increase your wealth, and your labor is not in vain. Why? Because men who labor for the Lord shall be rewarded. Last verse, Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse 24, Colossians 3, 24. Look at this. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see that? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that wonderful? Listen, today as you think about Labor Day, remember that men labor to feed themselves, and that's why you work. Take care of your family and take care of yourself, and hopefully be able to take care of somebody else that has a true need when their need arises. Men labor to increase wealth because labor is not vain wealth. You had to work for it. You appreciate what it took to get it on the table. But remember that men who labor must rest. And Sunday is a great day to rest, particularly when you could be with your brothers and sisters in Christ at church. And then men who are saved should labor in the Lord's work because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your work shall be rewarded. God bless you this Labor Day, and God bless you as you labor. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.